Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias, Troy Hall, and Christina Burkato. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show. My name is Jason Dias, back after a two-week absence, hosting America's favorite credit union show from the beautiful city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And before I introduce my co-host, I have to start by saying thank you, thank you, thank you, a million times thank you to my co-host for keeping the show hot and rolling in my absence as I traveled across the country here, north, south, east, and west. So a big time thank you, a big time I love you to your good buddy, Tough Talking Troy, Troy Hall, out at South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Hey, Troy, how are you?
I am doing great. I just want to let you know that, you know, we're getting ready in Charleston for all of the Sprite Night activities. So this Friday kicks off a big night at Boone Hall Plantation. So we've got a lot of Fright Night stuff happening.
Gotta love Fright Night. And, of course, a big-time thank you to the cute part of our hotter and cuter, and that would be Christina Burkato at Treliant Federal Credit Union. Thank you so much for all your assistance in my absence.
Oh, you're so welcome, Jason. It was my pleasure.
I thought you guys did a great job, and now the studio audience knows that whenever I go, that y'all will be here. So that's good for them. They like it.
It's important to know it has your back.
Yes, it's always good to know. And it's always good to know that the studio audience are still the smart aleck losers that they have always been when they come in here each and every Friday morning. Like I've told y'all many times, these are the people who failed out of the management training program at Subway Sandwiches. Now, first, before we get started here, big time shout out to my buddies out at Oregon Community Credit Union in the gorgeous Pacific Northwest city of Eugene, Oregon. We were out there on Monday morning to kick off their all-employee training event, doing it our way. No presentations, but a live performance. No bullet points, just a lot of awesome music and reminding the employees that, hey, you put on a live performance every single day. When you think about your members like an audience, you will never engage them the same way again. Be the person you were in the interview or go work for the competition. That was our message on Monday. So a big-time thank you to Marla Cassley and the whole crew out there at Oregon Community Credit Union. And, Troy, I think that means, didn't we meet on an all-employee training day 5 years ago this past Monday? Or was it a Veterans Day?
No, it was over the February.
President's Day.
Yeah, it was President's Day. That's right. Yeah.
Very, very good, very good. Well, anyway, as you guys know.
But I like what you said about if you don't want to do it here, you know, you can go do it for the competition, because during our new employee orientation, all the employees actually have to sit through a Tough Talk and Troy session, which will probably come as no surprise to you or anybody else who's listening.
Wow. Christina, we need to get that on tape sometime.
I would love to hear that.
Well, one of the messages I deliver, and I know the first time I said, I think HR was about ready to fall off their chairs, but I looked at them and I said, you have been selected because you demonstrate positive attitude, which is one of our most important core values. So what I just have, my message for you is this. If you faked it during the interview, keep faking it if you want to work here.
That's a good point.
It is a good point. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Why do we keep mediocre performers? Why do we deal with it? Why do we worry about them? Why do we send them to training? It's like I told the audience on Monday. We've had a couple of different musicians come in and out of our the people that we use for concerts and employee events and stuff like that. They don't get to make more than one mistake. They don't get to let us down more than one time. One time, you are one and done. We simply don't put up with it. We don't put up with prima donnas. We don't put up with people who think they are more important to the overall performance than me, since I am the star of the show when I go out to the events. And
you're definitely a headliner, no doubt about it.
I'm just kidding, but no, we don't tolerate low performers, and why would you? I mean, why would you? But anyway, to kind of get back to the reason, if you're wondering, if you're tuning into the show and are disappointed, one, that I'm back, where have you been? I have been everywhere. It was almost 8 states in 13 days. Alaska to Minnesota, drove home from Minnesota through the Great American Midwest. Came home, did my laundry, got on a plane, and went to Oregon. And there's something I'm going to tell y'all. I went to Alaska, I think it was the 25th of September. Today is the 14th of October. Between that time and now, I have not had one piece of currency in my wallet. Not a dollar bill, not a 20 spot. Bad news for valets and things like that. But I didn't hold a gun to anybody's head and tell them to drive a cab. I've paid with my debit card for every single thing I've done. And today on the show, we're going to talk about debit cards and how Bank of America is going to start charging $5. And we're going to ask the question, is Bank of America out of its mind, or are they smart? Are they doing something because they know people realize that that debit card is an indispensable part of their financial life and don't really think it's worth the time to go close their account and reset all their bill pay stuff and do everything else just for a $5 fee for the convenience of using that debit card, which I used everywhere except the Eastern time zone. And we're going to talk about it right after this. All right, you are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show, where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter
and cuter.
So much so. I had to play the longer bump because I had to take a few swigs of my Ricola cough drop here. All right, well, listen, let's talk about debit cards. $5 fee, Bank of America. You guys know, I mean, Twitter lit up with all the same people sending out all the same links, saying all the same things. And then I talked to Troy. And Troy had a very interesting story to tell about this, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to first start by going to each of your individual credit unions. Troy, you with South Carolina Federal, big, big credit union in South Carolina, and Christina at Treliant. Troy, what is your position right now on debit card fees as it relates to the Bank of America story?
Well, we, I think good business people, are taking a very cautious approach with this game-changing information. We call it X-Factor Extreme. And what we also understand is that the billions of dollars that Bank of America and the larger credit and the larger financial institutions will lose, you know, really causes them and requires them to hop it up on the game. We have been looking at restructuring what we were going to be doing for our product, and one of the tactics that we had in mind was to require that a number of debit card transactions in order to waive a fee requirement on an account. So it was very difficult for us to actually go online and indicate that we were going to not charge something when we thought that we might very well be creating a behavior or requiring a behavior in order to do something. So that's kind of the position we've been taking with it. We know that the debit card is an important element in our members' use all the time. The couple of things that people have forgotten in this whole conversation when they're comparing the cost for debit cards is they've forgotten what the cost of producing checks were and what the costs were for processing checks, which are about 4 times as much as producing a debit card transaction. So I think that we're just going to have to continue to find ways to provide this, and this is part of what we talked about 2 weeks ago, Christine and I. Even when you were on the road, mm-hmm. we were talking about the other guy's link. So this CEO show brought it right out first.
Always out front, yep. Always out front. Christina, what about True Line? What is y'all's position as we sit here on October 14th, 2011, now a couple weeks removed from the Bank of America announcement?
Well, right now we are sticking to one of our core values that we're going to do what's best for our member. And so at the moment I have heard nothing that we are going to move to charging any sort of fee for our debit cards or usage of them. But I think we're also taking it cautiously, and at the moment we have a lot of things going on at Truliant that we're trying to focus on that before we really try and tackle the debit card fees. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll really sit down and come up with a firm strategy. But right now, until we get past, we just did a major core enhancement, so until we kind of get past all of that, we probably will not address it directly.
Right. And, of course, Troy, you and Christina both probably have, what, dozens of Bank of America branches within a 20-mile radius of your credit unions?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. They're like Starbucks here.
No, I know in North Carolina they are.
They are.
The old North Carolina National Bank. But, I'll be honest with y'all. When I was watching all this, something else kind of interesting. I did not go on Twitter this week until Thursday. And, man, I was very productive. When I was selling internet banking and bill pay, many credit unions, if you recall, this is back in the – it might have even been before 2001. It might have been 2000 or early 2001. Credit unions were giving away internet banking for free but were charging sometimes up to $4 a month for bill pay. And then Bank of America came out and said, oh, by the way, I remember the commercials very, very well. A person coming into the branch, and they were asking the Bank of America banker, I want checking to be free. Okay. What else? I want internet banking to be free. Okay. I want bill pay to be free. Okay. And it completely shut the door on the fee-based aspect of bill pay. It completely changed the game that I was in, which was getting out there trying to get credit unions to sign up for bill pay with the understanding that if they charge their members $3.50 and we only charge them $1.50 to process it, they're going to make a little bit of money. And it was a real, page turner. So, I don't like to jump on the bandwagon. Troy, I know you don't either, and Christina, you don't either. But I was it was just so predictable that when it happened that you got the sense that suddenly Americans were going to, throw down their Bank of America checkbooks and just run into the nearest credit union. And I'm not sure there's any evidence that that's occurred yet.
Well, no, the only thing that I would speak to is the viral campaign that is going on through Facebook regarding Occupy Wall Street, which I've blogged about a couple of times. And we've had some meetings at work to specifically understand. I have now renamed it Occupy Main Street since they have moved this protest and rally now into every major city. But it's actually gearing up for a big event, which is November 5th, which is supposed to be a transfer from your major bank financial institution and take it to either a small regional bank or to your local credit union. They've been promoting credit unions quite heavily. The one thing I do like about the way the campaign is geared is they're being very smart about it. They're not really bashing. They're simply saying, hey, check out the credit union. So that is what I think is really an opportunity for credit unions to be able to maximize is this awareness that we have in the marketplace. We have always been a salmon swimming upstream when it comes to speaking about who we are or what we do or why we even exist. And so we have gained a little bit of attention. At least people are saying, hey, this is a place to go. And we're getting more attention than from other public people that we've talked about on the show that we're not going to bring back up again.
Right, yeah. And I honestly I was in Alaska and on vacation when all this Occupy stuff started. To me, I know absolutely nothing about what's going on there or when it started or what it started. And it's honestly not anything I want to try to figure out on the radio program. But I would agree with you that it's something that we always talk about in my sessions. Seize your moment of opportunity. Seize the history that's been delivered to you. And, I've also seen some stuff out there that some credit unions, I know Christina, y'all are going through a core conversion right now, getting hundreds upon hundreds of new accounts in right now might not be the best thing for y'all operationally.
Right, and that's been our concern. That's why we haven't hit the Bank of America debit card thing too hard, is because until we know we've got that under control and we can give our current members the customer service we want to give them, It's really not fair to push people in the community to us. So, yeah, that's why as soon as we get that wrapped up, then I do think we will be planning a strategy. But first things first.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Hey, listen, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk to Troy about the I guess it was sort of an idea that some of the credit unions in your area of operation had to kind of sign a pledge to never, ever raise or charge fees for debit cards. I want to find out how that went, and we'll do it right after this.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live and talk, 646-915-9274.
All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show where the talk is hot and the hosts are?
Otter.
And Cuter.
Yes, they are. Speaking of hot, Tough Talking Troy is in the house as always. And a little news was made about this in your area down in Charleston, the Holy City. Tell us about it.
Well, what happened in South Carolina, actually one of our good friends, Bo McDonald, who we know from CU Insights, and in doing some other work with another marketing company, came up with an idea to actually have credit unions say, well, let's seize the moment and don't raise your fees for debit cards and go online and make a pledge saying that you will hold down the prices as long as you possibly can and go ahead and make that statement. And so there was a rally cry put out to all 67, 68 credit unions in South Carolina to respond. About 30 of the credit unions actually completed the pledge, and most of those credit unions, or almost all of those credit unions, were credit unions that were maybe 100 million or less in size. And what was absent from that were some of the larger players like ourselves. And we really felt a couple of things. The pledge idea was okay, but it's a very difficult position about where you're going to be on pricing when it comes to stuff. And like I said in the first part of the show, you know, we have intentions of trying to encourage our members to use their debit card for purchases for signature-based transactions. And by the way, that is the big deal on this $5 fee. It's when you at Bank America, that's what they announced, is that it's on purchases. You can use your debit card for ATM transactions and in-basis transactions all day long. It's no problem. When you start doing the other items is where the cost comes in. But anyway, so looking at that, because we were going to take a position to say there might be so many transactions you have to do to waive this fee, we thought, well, we can't play on the pledge. And the other thing we also considered was this. Just like what you said about Bank of America saying that you can now you now have to do the online banking or bill pay free, well, they did open the door for us that, well, is there a possibility that we could charge, and should we be considering that, and should we be looking at that? And I'm just going to tell you that based on this, you know, teetering economy that we have, I don't know how you can simply close the door on anything. And we just didn't want to make any false promises. So.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask Christina, because, you know, you're, like I said, you're right there in sort of the home turf of Bank of America in some ways. When all this was happening, obviously, like you said, you're going through a core conversion, your mind is on other things. But do you think the reaction would have been similar in North Carolina, that maybe a lot of the smaller credit unions would jump on and say, hey, we'll never do this, but some of the bigger guys like you and other people in North Carolina kind of have to step back and say, well, wait a minute, if this becomes the norm, you know, when Bank of America coughs, the rest of the financial services industry gets a cold. So what do you think about that?
Absolutely. I mean, Bank of America is huge here, so we're definitely keeping an eye on it. And yeah, I think it's really going to come down to the individual credit union and what they can manage to do. I think everybody is wanting to do what's best and what's right for their members, but depending on how long this goes, there are going to be some credit unions who can't continue to offer that service for free just out of sheer size or whatever the issues may be. So I think it's going to be very interesting, especially in this area, to see what happens and how that all plays out.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you my thoughts on it. Given what I've read and all the things I was following a discussion from MAC, the Martin Association of Credit Unions, had a good Melinda Wood from University of Tennessee Federal Credit Union, who, by the way, has this great website called The Only Bank on Campus, even though they're a credit union. They've got a branch there at the University of Tennessee. But she started a discussion about this, and so I've been keeping up with this. But what I think my final thoughts on this are such. Troy's situation with all these little credit unions running to put their name in a newspaper, pledging not to charge fees on debit cards, and then the bigger guys kind of staying out of it, I think that is a blueprint for what you're going to see over the next few years, that the bigger credit unions are going to have no choice but to operate like banks, but without the word bank in their name. They're going to be driven by the size of their operation, the scope of their operation, to find ways to earn revenue. And I think the chasm between the small credit union, the $100 million credit union, and the $1 billion credit union is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And ultimately, I think it's going to become such that, you know, you really don't even worry about those small guys anymore. I know there's a lot of great credit unions out there. We did a great concert event for a sub-$100 million credit union last year. But the reality is this. Credit unions are not charities. You may be not-for-profit, but the objective is not to lose money every year. And I think at some point, credit unions of all sizes are going to have to look for ways to increase that revenue to keep the lights on. And I think, you know, Bank of America, I'm going to judge them on their results. I never, ever judge people. If Troy says, Jason, I'm going to fly to your home this weekend and cut your grass and wash your car, I'm not going to say anything until it's done because he may do a terrible job. So I'm going to sit back and wait and see how this works. And I'd be interested to know what you think about that, Troy. Not my house and not my car, but the.
No, what I want to just comment on a couple of things. Number one, we want to reinvent in our marketplace the conversation of commitment and trust in the financial relationship that you have with your financial institution. And what we are looking for are those people who wanted accessibility to products and services who couldn't get them elsewhere, which is why and how the credit union movement was formed 75, 76 years ago. So what we're looking for is for people to be mindful of the fact that there is a commitment that we're asking you to play in a cooperative environment where we operate on a not-for-profit. What we are no longer willing to do is to simply be a holding ground where people can come and go as they please. We have a philosophy that encourages people to pay their way. And so it is our responsibility as senior management to make sure that our pricing is correct, our product offerings are correct, so that we can reach the unbanked, we can reach the underserved, but yet we do so in a way in which it is not a charitable case. When we say in our motto, people helping people, we forget the other part, help themselves. It does not mean I'm handing it out to you and you don't have anything to do. You have an accountability and responsibility. So one of the ways we responded to this with our sales staff, and this was from an organic and a viral perspective, is when people would come over and say, well, are you going to charge fees on this? We got people cleared right from the very beginning and basically said to them, well, first of all, how are you going to use your account here at the credit union? And if that individual was not planning on using it, because, hey, they could be the bottom of the barrel of the Bank of America coming over to us because they don't want to pay the $5 fee. Mm-hmm. You know, so
exactly. Exactly.
Yes. So what are we getting? We're getting people who come over here who said, oh, I'll take you now because you're the credit union of last resort. No, we're not interested in that kind of a program. And so what we would clearly say to folks is simply this. It is possible you may receive a fee at this institution as well. So be clear about why you're changing and where you're changing. I'm not saying we're running people off, and I'm giving you my tough talk message, which was much softer delivered by the staff, I can assure you. But the bottom line is simply this. There's a reason maybe why you are moving from one financial institution to another, and it's not just this $5 debit card. There could be a whole host of other reasons. And I think it's important for salespeople to figure this out before they just take this lackadaisical attitude that was like, oh, yeah, that's great. Come to the credit union. We're wonderful.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Christina,
yes.
He's got a point, does he not? I mean, if you're the kind of member who is like, I can't afford $5, well, is it possible that you can't afford any loan products too?
I think that's entirely possible. And we have a system in place here at Truliant called our True Financial Checkup. And when we have new members come in, our representatives spend quite a bit of time sitting down with them and going through the checkup and trying to match member needs with what is actually best for them, not just because they say they need it, but is that really, really, really what they need? So, you know, if they can't really get that loan, we're not going to give it to them.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It is a, you know, when people listen to the show, for those of you that might be tuning in for the first time, I haven't listened in a while, what I do is I'm in the toy department. I mean, I do the fun stuff, the concerts and the keynote speeches and the conferences and things like that. But Troy and Christina work for two very big credit unions with a far-reaching operational environment in a incredibly competitive environment where the economy has not been terrible. South Carolina has been one of the most stable state economy. I don't know a whole lot about North Carolina, but the fact
North
that you guys
Carolina's have done okay.
Been okay too. So I mean, mm-hmm. the fact that you guys are dealing with real stuff each and every day is why I find it so interesting to talk about this kind of stuff with you, Troy and Christina, rather than the people on Twitter in 140 characters or less. And so I always appreciate y'all's perspective, you, the grown-ups who are working at the credit union and keeping the lights on each and every day, because it was so predictable. You know, all the old credit union dogmas, we're in business to help the underserved, we can never charge these fees. And the simple fact is, has anybody stopped to think that maybe Bank of America is trying to run off some of the people who can't afford a $5 debit card fee? Has anybody stopped to think that maybe take a break from all the CU movement nonsense and can't we all get along types and think maybe Bank of America actually knows what it's doing here by trying to lighten its load of people that just come there? Everybody knows at any credit union or community bank or a bank the size of Bank of America, the top 10-20% of their customers keep the ads on television, keep the stadiums named after Bank of America. There are lots of people that do business with Bank of America that don't add one red cent to the bottom line of Bank of America. And I just think credit union professionals need to pay close attention, not to get all hung up on what happens in the moment, but think about it a little more strategically than that. And, you know, I guess that's my tough talk, Troy. I don't know if it was as tough as yours, but, you know.
Well, no, what we say is this, is that you cannot make decisions by emotion. And so the mm-hmm. reaction to actually say, hey, we're not going to charge, to me, is more of an emotional decision about
yep.
something that we really want to have happen, but may not be very realistic that it can happen.
Yeah. Well, let me let Christina wrap this up. What would I mean if you were? I got an email yesterday from Tim McAlpine with Currency Marketing and Young and Free. 4 weeks until they announce the next top credit union executive. He wants us to host. Troy, the remaining four contestants or six contestants or whatever it is, he wants us to bring him on the show. Would a question, do you think it would be a good question to ask them, if you were made the president of a credit union on Monday, would you sign a pledge to never raise fees on debit cards? And then if that person said, yes, I would you tell them that they are making a mistake?
that's a good question.
Well, we'll have to ask him and find out.
Yeah, I think for me it would come down to what's going on at that individual credit union. What's right for one is not necessarily right for all.
That's
so
true.
Maybe they're in the position where they can find that right now and be comfortable doing so, but I don't know if just anybody could say the exact same thing. So I think there's a lot more playing into that than we've talked about so far.
I mean, for me, it's going to be a matter of how convicted are they in their response and whether they base their response on strategy or base it on emotion. So, for instance, if they say that, yes, I'd sign that pledge because I know based on our pricing structure that we would be able to do this and we would be able to do this and we would be able to do that, that'd be great. But if you said, oh, no, we're not going to charge because philosophically we don't do that, I'm thinking, well, then you're messed up because you can't run your business on philosophical completely. It is a foundation, but it does not pay the bills.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, and I hope you guys noticed it. Everybody noticed that during the intro, Christina Bricado is now officially named in the intro. Did y'all notice that?
I noticed that. What a good way to end the week.
What a good way to end the week. What a great way to start the fall. It was cold and crisp here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. It's always, always, always nice to be home. It's great to travel. It's great to bring your family along, but it's also great to come home and see all the normal stains on the carpet and all the different things that make a house a home. But again, I wanted to thank y'all, both of you, Troy and Christina, for keeping the show rolling. There are some other credit union shows out there that I never know if they're going to be on half the time. You guys kept the show rolling in my absence, and I know that if I'm ever out again, you guys can handle it. With 30 seconds on the show, Troy, you got any final remarks for us before we get out of here?
I do. I just want to say a special shout-out to FCC Federal Credit Union in Hartsville, South Carolina, who allowed me to help do some strategic planning with them with a session a couple of weeks ago. So Linda and her crew, thank you.
And Christine, anything you want to shout out before we get out of here?
Just happy Friday to everybody, and I hope everyone has a good weekend.
Hey, listen, if it's Friday, it's Radio Free, and we'll see everybody here same time, same show next Friday. Talk to y'all soon. Have a great weekend, y'all.
Something out.